How do you spell disappointment? J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 woo!
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
You want to know what was really disappointing? I obviously announced to you all that I've started my grilling venture, my journey as a grill master, since the past couple of weeks on my birthday. I was told I'm not allowed to mention that my birthday was a week and a half ago or so before. But yeah, started my grilling adventures. And last night, for the first time, C-Cat,
what?
I tried out some sliders, and they weren't sliding. It was my first failure on the Traeger.
Just small burgers. How hard could it be?
See, that was the problem. So everything else I've done before were always a little bit more intricate, like chicken kebabs. I nailed that, right? Obviously, it's hard to mess up like hot dogs or sausage dogs. Did some chicken thighs. Everything else have went perfectly fine. Some shrimp skewers. But last night, we fired up the Traeger grill, and I decided I was going to give it a shot at some burgers, some little sliders. And I didn't do a lot of prep. I didn't do a lot of research beforehand. And again, as a newly minted grill master, I made the mistake of overlooking my opponent, not having the appropriate fear. And those sliders, like, I was supposed to flip them once. I couldn't get it right. I ended up flipping them like three or four times, kept opening up the Traeger, losing heat. And then at first they were too soft, and I was worried I was going to be feeding my wife raw beef. And then I cooked them a little bit too much, and it was a bit of a disaster. I would say like a 4 out of 10, the sliders last night. But you douse it in barbecue sauce and you move on to the next one.
So it wasn't bad enough to have to order pizza that night.
No.
It actually was dinner. Okay.
We still ate them. We still ate them. Again, 4 out of 10. And my wife, she was courteous enough to say I was being a harsh grader on myself. But hey, you know, I set high standards around here. I have perspective enough to know how well I can be as a grill master. And I failed. But guess what? You know what? Time for redemption, because we do have some chicken marinating in the fridge. We're firing up the Traeger. We're getting back on the horse today. I'm not giving up on my journey as a grill master, though I did disappoint last night. And before we get into the disappointment that will be the New York Jets, we're talking about which sports disappointment can you see coming from a mile away. And based on that new news we got out of Jets camp on two guys that are apparently missing, I mean, it's clear to say the Jets are going to be a disappointment. How about we start the show, though? Start, theoretically speaking, on a Tuesday on a good note, and it's always a good time when the Cats are on the prowl. That's right. The Florida Panthers last night getting the win over the Edmonton Oilers. They're up 2-0 in the Stanley Cup final now, taking the series back to Edmonton on Thursday for Game 3. And the unsung hero of the Cats win, Evan Rodriguez. How about we go to it? Because the Panthers were tied at 1-1 going into the third period, and then it was the man, the myth, Evan Rodriguez, breaking the tie.
Survives a check from Bouchard. They score! Evan Rodriguez again! A power play goal! And a 3-1.
That courtesy of ABC, Evan Rodriguez, two goals in the third period. The Panthers win it 4-1. And we're riding high in C-Cat. Again, they got the theoretically speaking bump. It wasn't that we were in the house this past night, but they still were riding the good juju, the good waves from our Saturday pregame show. So I'm glad that we can be aboard this Panthers bandwagon as they take this thing two wins away from the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, they weren't just beating them on the scoreboard. They were putting them into chokeholds and having them tap out, literally, not just figuratively looking at a scoreboard winning that game 4-1. No. They put the dude in a chokehold and had him tap.
They were brutal. They were absolutely brutal. And having them tap out was kind of part of the game plan, I guess, for those Florida Panthers. You got to love what they're doing. And also, we said it, you hold Connor McDavid under 1.5 points. That's a winning formula. They do it once again. We'll see what happens on Thursday again, Game 3, as they look to take that commanding 3-0 lead. But one guy in sports right now that looks like he's being held in a bit of a chokehold, a headlock against his own will, is the head coach of those New York Jets, Robert Saleh. this morning having to be the one, the bearer of bad news, to go out to the media and announce the absences of two very key players for the New York Jets. If you don't remember, the Jets, they did go out and trade for Hassan Reddick from the Philadelphia Eagles. Hassan Reddick, a big sack master, 50 and a half sacks over the past 4 years, one of the better guys off the edge. Hassan Reddick, though, who is looking for a new contract, held out from mandatory camp this morning. Alongside of him in an unexcused absence is the four-time MVP, the savior of the Jets franchise, Aaron Rodgers, who apparently had an event to go to instead of practicing with the Jets. But I talked about Saleh, a man that doesn't sound like he really has as much control over this franchise as he would need if he needs to lead them to a playoff run. How about we take a listen to the man and you tell me what you hear from Saleh at the podium, because to me it sounds like a guy that, again, doesn't have full control over what he's able to say, his messaging, and maybe not even over his own team in the locker room.
You know, again, selfishly, I want all our guys here all the time, but, you know, when you get to these mandatory things, it's, you know, they're, it's, you know, you make the best decision for yourself. And obviously, selfishly, want all of them here all the time, but he made a decision, and that's what he went with.
Was he here yesterday?
So he came through yesterday. He had his physical. He did the multimedia day or the media day and all that stuff. So he was, but like I said, he had something that was very important to him. And if it's important to him, it's important to us.
He's not going to be here at all. No. Something more important to him than practicing with this Jets team that has had a lot of different pieces added in, most importantly on that offensive line, the very unit that was a key cog and the reason why he only played four snaps last year. Aaron Rodgers making the main thing once again, which generally for Aaron Rodgers is whatever the hell he has on his plate. We don't know what the event was. I mean, I think that's the first question a lot of people have is what the hell was the random event that popped up on Aaron Rodgers' schedule that he couldn't knock out of the way for mandatory minicamp. But we do know what the expectations are around these New York Jets, and that's not just to make the playoffs, but likely for them to win a playoff game. And this just feels like another season where they're going to be starting off on the wrong foot, and it feels like another year where Jets fans are going to be massively disappointed, and I can see it from a mile away. I look at the Jets right now on Hard Rock Bet, their win total for the 2024 season, and a tough AFC East division is 9.5. But it feels like to me, especially with a guy like Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, especially with a team that is so veteran laden and so old, literally they came into last year as the oldest team in the league per average. And all they did was add older guys this year, and Mike Williams and Hassan Reddick, retaining Aaron Rodgers, Tyron Smith at left tackle. This feels like a team that should be having expectations of, like, I don't want to say Super Bowl or bust, but making the AFC Championship game. I mean, if you're going to hand over the keys to your franchise to a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, if he's going to be the kind of guy that can dictate whether or not he's showing up to mandatory camps as the leader of that team, shouldn't he come with a bit of expectations of winning something greater than just a playoff game, of just making the postseason, C-Cat?
Well, it depends on the organization. If you're going to Denver like Peyton Manning did after surgery, yeah, those expectations are high because that organization is used to that. For me, if you're going to the Jets, you're not expecting anything fantastic such as Super Bowl aspirations. Mm. You're expecting to be better than you were last year.
So I just remember when Aaron Rodgers joined the Jets last offseason and he talked about how lonely the Lombardi Trophy was, and then all throughout the Hard Knocks we got to hear about all the praises and worship of how this guy is going to come through and change the trajectory of the franchise, and we haven't seen it yet. And from the top down, it seemed like there is a little bit less cohesion. It seems like there's a little bit less direction. And it also feels like Aaron Rodgers has this franchise by the you-know-whats, and especially his own head coach. And most telling in all of this is when guys like Marcus Spears, an NFL analyst for ESPN on NFL Live, when they're asked about Aaron Rodgers' absence, and he's literally brought to laughter and then has this to say on NFL Live.
Well, the bottom line is, JD, it is excused. Because it's Aaron Rodgers. He can do what the hell he wants. He's been doing it since he got there, okay? This is his organization and his franchise.
See, stop it right there, quick, C-Cat. Can we? This is Aaron Rodgers' organization and his franchise. A four-time MVP, a guy that has a Super Bowl championship under his belt, and a guy that came here with one objective on his mind, and that's to win a Super Bowl. So why, when I look at Hard Rock Bet, I see a 9.5 win total? Why, when I ask Jets fans what their expectations for the season is, it's maybe make the playoffs or win a playoff game? I get that the Jets are not a franchise that are historically contending. But if you're going to hand over the keys to a 40-year-old quarterback to be the leader of your franchise, I would expect you to have a higher win total than the damn Atlanta Falcons in 2024. What gives on that angle?
I guess so. If you are strapping your keys to a guy like Aaron Rodgers, where you're not going to get the length of a long Aaron Rodgers tenure, you're not going to see him in a Jets uniform in 2026, 2028. No, you're going to win now mode.
And that's the way that they've shaped their roster. They let go of a guy like Bryce Huff, who was a young pass rusher. They let go of guys like John Franklin Myers, who was a staple on that D-line, to go get a guy like Hassan Reddick, who apparently Joe Douglas didn't know needs a new contract. Like, this Jets organization, as good as they're trying to hold themselves up to be now in this Aaron Rodgers tenure, it feels like they're shaping up fans for another massive disappointment. And the only thing that's getting in the way of fans maybe being disappointed in this Jets season is the bar keeps dropping on what their expectations are. I mean, far be it for me to tell you guys to be rooting for your team to make it to the Super Bowl or to win the AFC Championship or at least win your own damn division when you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers at quarterback who apparently has the keys to your franchise. But if they don't want as much for themselves, I can't be the one to push for it. The Jets, to me, looking like the most, the team that's going to disappoint the most NFL fans, at least their own and their own fan base in 2024. We're going to have Mike Tannenbaum join us in a little bit to discuss what he thinks, what he makes of Hassan Reddick and Aaron Rodgers' absences, as well as he has a bold proclamation I'm hearing about the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to have to get to that in a little bit. But in the NBA Finals, we are at a turning point, and one of those turning points starts with the fact that we have an update on the injury status of Kristaps Porzingis that I'm still fumbling to figure out, and we'll try to do this together. A Baptist Health Orthopedic Care Injury Report for Game 3 of the NBA Finals.
My leg! My leg!
I am not angry. I am in pain.
My leg!
Time now for an injury report.
My head and torso!
Wow, that's crazy. They hit me everywhere except
my legs!
Presented by Baptist Health Orthopedic Care. Go where the pros go.
My leg!
Game 3 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night as the series shifts to Dallas. And the 7'3" big man for the Boston Celtics, Kristaps Porzingis, is now day-to-day. And stick with me here as I try to read off this injury. I mean, they're making up injuries for this dude, a guy who, again, his one sticking point, the one negative that comes with Kristaps, who's a great guy at 20-8, walking for you any single time and a great rim defender, is the fact that he's always injured, yet again injured, and this one feels made up. Here it is. He suffered a torn medial retinaculum, allowing dislocation of the posterior tibialis in his left leg. Now, C-Cat, I ain't never heard of nothing like that.
That sounds bad. It sounds like you need a degree to understand what that means.
Sounds like he needs a new left leg. And here's Kristaps Porzingis talking to the media earlier today on the uncertainty around his status as well as his hopefulness to be there for Game 3. But I'm going to let you guys know before he even talks, that dude ain't playing in Game 3. Here's Kristaps.
I don't know the specifics, but you know that's something I leave in the medical staff's hands to determine whether you know I can go or no. But from my side, like as I said, you know, there's nothing's gonna stop me unless you know I'm told not to or not allowed to play. So that's the only reason I will not be out there.
Okay, so he literally said nothing will stop him unless somebody says, hey, stop. Then he'll just stop. Kristaps ain't playing in Game 3. That's your Baptist Health Orthopedic Care Injury Report. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. And maybe Chris Stapps needs to hop on the phone now or hop on the web now and figure it out because, again, I don't know what the hell that is they saying is wrong with the dude's leg, but I know that the game is tomorrow night and the Celtics have won without him in these playoffs, and they're probably going to have to do the same in Game 3 as they try to really put the nail in the coffin of those Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic dealing with some injuries of his own right. You know, a lot of times when I'm out there trying to get, like, when was the last time that you've actually hit the golf course, CK?
Man, I'm on the mend. I got a bad left shoulder, so it's been 2 weeks for me.
See, and that's the thing, man. Getting injured on the golf course has got to suck, but also the game of golf, it keeps you coming back because even when you hurt yourself a little bit and even when you have a couple of bad shots, you're always going to have that one good one, that one good hole, like the 18th hole that you beat me on last time we went out there and ended up walking away. Did you take my money that time or were you even?
No, I think we were even. I think we finished even.
Yeah.
It was a double or nothing, and I sunk the 8-foot putt to get nothing.
So you sunk the 8-foot putt, which was an amazing job by you, but you know what?
What?
I just got to get better with my approach game. And the one place that I work on my approach, as well as every other golf shot I have in my bag of tricks, is the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center, because they build champions at Kaiser University. Train you like a pro, not just with their outdoor facilities, which has a putting green, has a driving range, has an area for you to really figure out, okay, this is if I really want to hit this shot, how much distance can I get on this one? All right, how can I make sure that I'm not hitting it with the foot of my club, but I'm hitting it right there centered on the club face? Those are the kind of things that I've been picking up at the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. And, of course, as you see today, it's a very gloomy day. It's a rainy day. It's been storming. That's what it's like in the summertime. Well, thank you for the Kaiser Seahawks team and that program having an indoor facility. 2,000 square feet, state-of-the-art. Three different hitting bays, ball flight technology, and video replay where you can go with your coach, my coach Pete, and work on your game. The Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center, KaiserGolfCenter.com. Train like a pro with the Seahawks. When we come back, Mike Tannenbaum joins the show. I'm going to have to ask him again. Not only do I feel like the Jets are going to disappoint, I think they're going to end up being worse than the Pittsburgh Steelers this year, who a lot of people kind of were laughing at when they brought their quarterback room together of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. I'll have to tap into the GM brain of Mike Tannenbaum when we come back, as well as we got to talk. We're going to bring in later on today in some theoreticals, Dean Thomas and Tina. It's a packed Tuesday on Theoretically Speaking. At CCAT, I'm Theo Dorsey. We're on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Christian McCaffrey on the Madden 25 cover. CCAT, do you remember the last white running back to grace the cover of Madden?
Of course I do. From the dog pound, Peyton Hillis.
Peyton Hillis on Madden 12.
That's a one-hit wonder if I've ever heard of one, man.
Haven't heard of him since. Have not heard from him since. We should do a wellness check on Peyton Hillis, who broke the color barrier for running backs on the cover of Madden. We'll never forget you, Peyton Hillis. And shout to Christian McCaffrey. That does further sink in the fact that I do think there's going to be a Super Bowl hangover for those 49ers in 2024. The roads are wet. It's very slippery out there. And I don't want you guys to get in any trouble, right? Driving around here in South Florida, it's already dangerous enough as is. But if you find yourself in a car accident, a truck accident, a slip and fall, Anajar and Levine, Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine, they will fight for you. They don't get paid unless you do. They fight to get you the maximum compensation you deserve. They're master negotiators, similar to Mike Tannenbaum, who's going to be joining us here in a few. Talk some football. They're master negotiators. They're going to make sure you get the compensation you deserve. So call Anajar and Levine for your free consultation. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine. That's the Anajar and Levine difference. It takes one phone call to take back control of your life. So take back control of your life. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-FREE. 3733. And joining us now on Theoretically Speaking, the man, he usually joins us on Mondays, but you know what? Why not pull up on a Tuesday here? Mike Tannenbaum, NFL insider, former GM of the Jets, former vice president of the Dolphins, now here to talk some ball. And first and foremost, Mike T, I just got done kind of ragging on the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers. Between his news and the Hassan Reddick news of him holding out, is there anything, is there any smoke, or is there any fire to the smoke that's coming out of Jets camp this morning?
Yeah, I would be a little concerned on the Reddick situation, Theo, because, you know, they traded for him. Presumably he wasn't, you know, happy with his contract. And that, you know, to me, you want to get that solved as quickly as possible. You know, with Rodgers, like, to me, if it's just 1 or 2 days, like, he knows the offense, you know, by all accounts, he's healthy. He almost came back a year ago. So, you know, I think context is important. You know, more concerned about Reddick, less concerned about Rodgers.
Is there any, like, the way that Robert Saleh addressed the media about Rodgers and making a point to say that it is an inexcused absence, like, when you're a GM of a team, and of course, you know, you want the top down to all be on the same page, would you have preferred Saleh to maybe smooth that over a little bit better publicly?
I think that's a fair point, you know, relative to he could have just made an excuse and it probably would have been a non-story. So that, I agree, that was a little bit of a surprise.
One team that doesn't have a lot of shakeups or surprises at the head coaching position is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going on record today of saying I feel in 2024 the Steelers will have a better record than the New York Jets in this coming football season. We'll have to see how the rest of the offseason plays out. But the continuity that they have and signing Mike Tomlin to that extension that goes through 2027 that we heard about yesterday, how do you view the fact that this Steelers franchise seems to keep getting it right and sticking with a guy like Mike Tomlin who has not had a losing season yet in his tenure in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I agree. I'm very bullish on the Steelers. And I think they're going to continue to play great defense, which, you know, they're known for. And their offense could be a lot better. I think both quarterbacks are better than Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett. So I'm really intrigued by what Justin Fields could do with Arthur Smith, their new offense coordinator. I agree. I think the Steelers are going to be one of those teams that absolutely no one's going to want to play, Theo.
And for Pittsburgh specifically, I know that the standard there is a lot higher than just making the playoffs, than just having winning seasons. But how do you rate what Mike Tomlin's been able to do in a place where he's not really had good quarterback play, and then looking forward to the future of maybe what you can get out of Justin Fields, but certainly what you can get out of Russell Wilson, who's going to be there in year one? How do you kind of project out what he'll be able to build now that there's more competence, at least in his quarterback room?
Yeah, I agree. You know, this is probably the hardest, you know, the best team since Roethlisberger. And again, I think this is one of those teams that absolutely no one's going to want to play. I think the AFC North is impossibly hard. You know, we'll see how Deshaun Watson is, but beyond that, you know, we know how good Cincinnati is with a healthy Joe Burrow. You know, the Ravens were obviously outstanding a year ago. I think arguably this may be the best division in all of football.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on Theoretically Speaking on a Tuesday, saying the AFC North may be the best division in football. I wonder where that puts in context then a division like the AFC East. Of course, the New England Patriots right now going to be likely in the cellar of that division. But up top, you have three teams with playoff expectations, the Buffalo Bills, the New York Jets, and the Miami Dolphins. If I give you those three teams and I say one of them is not going to make the playoffs this year, which one do you think is most likely to miss the cut?
Well, let's just go with the Jets from a standpoint. I think the Jets have an incredibly high variance because of the injury situation. So if Mike Williams and Tyron Smith and Aaron Rodgers all stay healthy, I think they're going to be really hard to beat. But, you know, that's a big if, you know, for all three.
And for the Jets, literally health was what tanked last year, and it feels like they only got older with the additions that they've added, either older or adding people that have injury concerns. Is this a case of them not necessarily learning from last year's mistakes, or more so just doubling down on that window for Aaron Rodgers? Because when you bring a guy like that in there, it's really as close to Super Bowl as bust as you can get with a quarterback that's accomplished so much, right?
Yeah, Yeah, look, I think they got a better backup in Tyrod Taylor. So, you know, from a Jets standpoint, that's progress. But, yeah, their eggs are in his basket. Make no mistake about it. And, you know, hopefully for their sake, you know, he comes back and he plays great. But, boy, Theo, there's so much pressure on him to get back to where he was, you know, several years ago.
And back when he did, that was with the Green Bay Packers with a great coach in Mike LaFleur. We'll see what Robert Saleh and Nate Hackett can get out of Aaron Rodgers in 2024, his year 40 season. Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on Theoretically Speaking on a Tuesday, talking some NFL. But I do want to shift quickly to the NBA. People are saying it's a quote-unquote embarrassment that the Los Angeles Lakers got publicly denied by UConn coach Dan Hurley for that job. And when they say that, I'm curious, as a person that has had to make go through a lot of negotiations, sit in the chair and make decisions for franchises before, has there ever been a public negotiation or a hiring or any kind of decision you made where afterwards, either it's because you got turned down or how it played out, where you felt embarrassed on behalf of your franchise or even in your position?
Yeah, no, it's a fair question. And look, I'm sure the Lakers would have liked to have had a little bit more information ahead of time to say, like, hey, if you're coming out here, let's address any concerns, because, you know, once you're on that plane, we got to expect to get something done. So, yeah, I've been in a number of those, and you try to deal with that as proactively as possible, because you just don't want to be in a situation where, look, they're going to get a good coach here, Theo, but, you know, the narrative is going to be like, oh, they got, you know, their second or third choice, and that's not fair, you know, for the new coach who's starting off.
That's a great way of avoiding the question of when you've felt embarrassed from the GM chair yourself. Vet move. Look, you need to be teaching Robert Saleh these moves when he gets in front of the mic here.
No, I've had a few. And again, like, these things just get public. Look, you know, you run NFL teams, they're going to get public. It is what it is. And you just try to stay, you know, on the front end of it, Theo, as much as you can.
Now, I've been saying before the Dan Hurley announcement and even afterwards that the Lakers, to me, is the best job in all of professional sports, but definitely in the NBA. That's kind of come into the headlights here, and a lot of people are picking apart that job, saying that it's not as glamorous as it seems from the outside looking in. What do you feel right now in the NFL is actually the best job out there for any aspiring coach or maybe a veteran coach that wants to go out and win Super Bowls?
Yeah, I mean, I think the easy answer, obviously, is Kansas City. You know, Andy Reid's close to the end. Patrick Mahomes is in the prime of what looks like a, let's face it, historically great career. So, you know, I think that, and look, typically in that situation, Theo, look for Matt Nagy or Steve Spagnuolo, you know, to take over, much the way like Sherrone Moore took over at the University of Michigan for Jim Harbaugh. You know, when you have success and somebody leaves for whatever reason, you know, typically you look to stay, you know, inside the program. And I would think Kansas City is the best job. And my expectations are that, you know, when Coach Reid retires, that'll be filled internally.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on Theoretically Speaking. Just two more before I let you go here. I'm curious for you, because we got the report today from Travis Kelce saying he will play until, quote, the wheels fall off. Travis Kelce, tight end of those Chiefs that are looking to go for the historic back-to-back-to-back. For you, what you saw out of Travis Kelce last year and going into, like, the offseason right now and into the fall, knowing how much it felt like the wheels were looking like it's falling off, how careful do you feel like the Chiefs need to be about kind of keeping him healthy, keeping him clean through the regular season so he can be more strong down that playoff run like they did last year?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, like, you have to make sure that you're going to get, you know, what he's going to do relative to the future, not the past. And you can't just, you know, look at him through the lens of, like, what he's done in the past, because that's not going to serve you well. So it's a really good point. You have to be really careful managing his reps and then making sure you're evaluating him, like, fairly in terms of what he's doing, you know, this year.
And last one for you here, Mike Tannenbaum, on a Tuesday on Theoretically Speaking. I know how you get down, Mike T. You sometimes you get up here and you say some bold things, you say some riveting things. I'm wondering if there's been anything festering on you. You've had a couple days off from being on the big time shows. Is there anything festering from the NFL that you want to get off here today and make us aware of, something that we need to be locked on in with it when it comes to football right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, someone like Justin Simmons, a little surprised he hasn't signed. I don't know if that's headline news, but he's a
really good safety, and I thought he would have signed by now. I think there's a couple teams that could use him, and I think we'll see a couple bigger moves between now and training camp, and I think he's somebody that deserves to be with the team and still can contribute at a high level.
I love that one. Keep your eyes on Martin County product, Justin Simmons, the all-pro safety. Mike T, you know how to do it so well. That's our local guy. We are pulling to see him play football this fall as well, and you're right. It is kind of eerie that June 11th we're at right now, and Justin Simmons still looking for an NFL home. Mike T, appreciate your time, and we'll be talking to you next week, bud.
Okay, thanks so much.
Mike Tannenbaum, always brought to you by Eisner Ampner when he makes his appearances, and he did so by way of the Baptist Health Hotline. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care. Is joint pain affecting your quality of life? CCAT, you said your shoulder's kind of bothering you. Well, you know what? At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, our team is experienced in traditional joint replacement surgery as well as new, less invasive treatments with the goal of returning you to what you love as quickly as possible. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. He's talking about a Justin Simmons signing, which should be on the horizon. Well, 40-year-old Mercedes Lewis, the tight end for the Chicago Bears, he just inked a deal to return for his 40-year-old season.
What?
He has a shot, actually, C-Cat, to pass Tom Brady in the record books in a specific statistical category. Yes, a tight end on the heels of Tom Brady. I'll tell you how when we return. And also, we got Dean Thomas and Tina in the house for some theoreticals. It is a great Tuesday on Theoretically Speaking. As CCAT, I'm Theo Dorsey. Stick around.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Here I am, and I come with friends. If you're tapped in on YouTube at Theo Speaking, you can see my dear friends here. We have Tina in the house. What up?
Hello there. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you as well. And then we got Dean Pablo Picasso in the crib as well. What you got on your head?
I got the hat on. But first off, let me say this. I'm trying to look at myself on the screen.
Yeah.
Man, they need to put some more light on me. Man, they got me so black in the screen.
You are black.
I am, but not that black.
the fedora that you have on is casting a little bit more of a shadow on your face there as well.
That is true.
And then it's a gloomy day. We don't have as much light coming in from the windows.
No sunlight.
That is true.
So jump in on YouTube and you let us know. Do we not have enough light on me? There's plenty of light on me right here.
You got plenty of light on you. They ain't get me. And you kind of light skin yourself. They ain't get me. No light. I'm up in here looking like Wesley Snipes.
I mean, but hey, just make sure you don't evade your taxes like Wesley.
Nah, I pay mine.
Allegedly. I teased this ahead. Mercedes Lewis will be entering his 19th season with Chicago Bears this year. It'll be his year 40 season. 40 years old. Mercedes Lewis, the tight end for the Bears. And all he needs is 7 receiving yards to pass Tom Brady on the all-time receiving yards list for a player 40 or older. Quick trivia, though, for y'all two here. Who do you think is the player that's number one on the list? Number one is one guy. Some good trivia music there. Number one on players in the NFL, 40 or older, receiving yards. Number one is a guy that has a whole lot of them. Number two is Tom Brady with 6.
Great. Jerry Rice.
There, that was a good one. There we go. Already. Dean Thomas.
Good job, Dino.
That's it.
I'm telling you.
On fire.
Yes, that's right.
I knew you were going to come in with the knowledge because you got the fedora.
Come in with the knowledge.
The random things Dean Thomas knows.
It's crazy.
That's what it is.
It's crazy.
The random things.
What's the biggest accomplishment you've had post 40 years old, Dean Thomas? Mercedes Lewis can pass up Tom Brady. He'll be telling his grandkids about that, passing up the GOAT in receiving yards, which I don't know how impressive that is. All he needs is 7 this year. What's the biggest 40-plus achievement you've had other than having multiple stylish fedoras in your closet now?
Being able to wear ascots as fly as I do on TV every day.
Why didn't you bring an ascot today? You got like a sleeveless shirt on.
He doesn't try when he comes here.
Yeah.
He tries so hard for the UFC fights, but he does not try. He literally puts his clothes
like
on
the exact
in the dark.
Opposite. It's like the exact opposite. I literally wear like the first thing I grab. I just grab stuff and just put it on.
Today he's actually matching a bit. Like, he's actually wearing colors that match. Usually there's different patterns and then hats and socks.
Well, I mean, it's not matching. They're just solid.
Black and white.
Yeah, it's just very low bar for Dean Thomas here, theoretically speaking. And your shirt says what, Gamblers?
Yeah, it says Gamblers.
I thought it said Shohei Ohtani. I thought I was tripping. Allegedly. That was, I mean, stuff is being played out in court. Dean Thomas, Tina, here for some theoreticals, but also for y'all's very first time, I want to take you all on a trip, on a ride, on a journey, and that's what we do here on Theoretically Speaking. It's fun. We hit all of the major sports headlines across the nation. Would you like to join me on my bus?
Let's do it.
I'd love to.
All right, it's time for the Get Around.
I get around. What you mean you don't know?
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, getting scared.
That's how they was doing it in the video.
You're right. That was a Pac. That was a Tupac.
The Tupac was doing that in the video.
Y'all got to tap in on YouTube. This is good stuff. Tina, before we get around, I know Dean could use some help shopping
with
what he has on right now.
I need to go right now.
Dean, we need to get you ASAP to the Garden Mall. I'll show you all the shops that I go to, but there's definitely some more for you. But again, so many different stores all under one roof. And while we're shopping, Dean, if we need some snacks, because I know you get hungry, we could go to the food court, get a little light bite, or even go grab dinner at Cooper's Hog or the Marlin Tommy Bahama Bar or Tap 42. Oh my goodness, I went there last week and had some amazing appetizers. They've got a happy hour 4 to 7 p.m., $35. Oh my goodness, I'm going there this Friday again for happy hour because it was just so amazing. But the Gardens Mall, PGA Boulevard, East at I-95. Check out all the new stores at thegardensmall.com that are coming this year in 2024.
Speaking of good eats, no eater better than the person on our next stop.
Next stop, Brooklyn. A new champion will be crowned in the 2024 Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest because Joey Chestnut is banned from competing.
Woo!
This makes me mad.
This is...
Why does this make you mad?
It's Joey Chestnut. If he's not part of the hot dog eating contest, what is the hot dog eating contest?
Well, somebody else can shine now.
It allows an opportunity. But it would be so much better to see someone beat him.
Yes.
Not him not be there and someone win. Like, he's like watching him lose to someone, yes, but he's not going to be there.
He's not going to be there. This is sad, Dean. How are you not sad by this?
I'm not sad by that. Man, he messed up.
He didn't mess up. An endorsement deal with a different meat company.
Exactly. That's messing up. Why would you sign an endorsement deal with a different hot dog company?
Is it vegan?
Yeah, it's vegan. It's like a non-meat.
Exactly. It's not even a regular hot dog. It's not competition.
This is what I'll say about this. Because you can't be gatekeeping the greats out of the game. You can't be relegating out the highest of the competition. He's known as the Glizzy Gladiator. Mm. All right? Like, he's the goat of throat.
Did you just make that up?
I'm just saying you can't have a Nathan's hot dog eating competition on July 4th without Joey Chestnut.
You can't.
That's what I'm saying.
This is insane.
He should not have signed an endorsement deal with another meat company.
It's different.
What is it? Tofu?
What is the type? Can we look it up?
Vegan.
It's just vegan meats. We don't want to shout them out because they're not paying us, and we don't also want to be
vegan meats,
banned.
Though. It's
so
meats.
Wait, would this mean though he would have to eat the vegan hot dogs instead?
He'd be eating the Nathan's hot dog.
But that's what I'm saying. Think about this.
He signed
an endorsement deal with a vegan company. Then he's eating hot dog. Why would they sign him anyway?
Why would I trust Joey Chestnut's endorsement of the vegan hot dogs if I'm seeing him gobble up 90 non-vegan hot dogs on stage?
They must be paying him good.
$1.2 million over 4 years.
$1.2 million over 4 years.
He makes
Well, what does he make for the hot dog eating contest?
$400K.
Oh, this is a no-brainer.
I would take the money as well if I'm Joey Chestnut, but also I didn't know that being like just chugging hot dogs was that lucrative. I would have done it myself.
We've been starting training.
Right. Like, how many could you get down in 2 minutes? I could get like 3. Just to start?
I did a hot dog eating contest before.
How'd it go?
It's a lot more difficult than you think.
I did it
in Maine. I did it on an episode of Dana White Looking for a Fight when we were in Maine, a hot dog eating contest. And I love hot dogs. I thought I could do it. I ate like two of them and was like, man. I was like, yo, this is harder than I thought.
That's just a meal.
I know. I know.
Oh, my God.
I felt like I eat more on 4th of July, but when the pressure was on, I was like, yo, how come I can't get these things down?
We're going to start training internally at ESPN West Palm and try and find the new champion of Eats to contend for the belt, now that Joey Chestnut's gone.
Next stop,
Las Vegas, Nevada. UFC journalist Ariel Helwani reports that feelers have been sent out for a replacement main event in UFC 303. That's the event where it's supposed to be McGregor versus Chandler, but if that fight doesn't happen, they need a new one.
Dean Thomas, you told us this fight was going to happen last Tuesday, and now it's in jeopardy again, and I think I'll never see McGregor fight.
And now my phone is blowing up, man. They want me to fight. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, I told y'all I'm retired.
Now, that would be your new highest achievement. 40-plus.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. That would be kind of fun, right?
Now, who has a better chance? Tyson versus Paul, or you versus... Who's McGregor fighting? Chandler?
Michael Chandler?
Yeah.
Probably neither of us.
Y'all both going to give whoops.
They're both pretty low, but Tyson has a better chance. I would not beat Michael Chandler.
Nah, yeah, of course.
He put my head through the concrete.
But is this seriously like, I mean, when they rescheduled the press conference, obviously that's when everybody's ears perked up. And now we're like, what, less than a week out, you're going to be headed to Vegas. When do you leave for Vegas?
No, I leave for Vegas on the, I think the 22nd.
So are you nervous?
No. Why would I be nervous?
I'm saying about the fight actually happening.
Like,
I forgot.
What's happening? Yeah. Like, what is happening?
I don't care about that. I got a fighter on the card.
You're like, I'm good either way.
Yeah,
Jillian
and Savage Robinson on the card. So, like, either way, I got work to do.
Either way,
I don't care about no Conor McGregor.
How about the Savage?
Next stop,
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mike Tomlin received a contract extension from the Steelers that puts him under contract for the 2027 season.
Tina!
Love me some Mike Tomlin.
It's your Steelers.
Let's go.
Wave that terrible towel.
Yes, if I had one, I would. Love him.
I know that it's a little weird for the Steelers fans right now because Mike Tomlin, you know, the Steelers haven't won a playoff game since 2016.
Yes.
He has all the winning seasons, but not a Lombardi in the recent memory to show for it. But again, you are ever optimistic about the Steelers, and you like the Tomlin news.
I love the Tomlin news, and we've had winning seasons, even though they haven't been Super Bowl winning, playoff winning. But hey, I'm happy. Love Mike T.
Dean, have you ever thought about dressing up as Mike Tomlin for Halloween?
I thought about it. I love Mike Tomlin. I just love his demeanor.
Yeah.
Like, he's always, like, got this no-nonsense face on. I love his demeanor. And then I heard an interview with him and Ryan Clark and them, and it was really good.
I saw the way that Glorilla was connecting on some pictures a few weeks ago, and I'm like, yeah, Mike Tomlin still got a little game, too.
Mike Tomlin was trying to kick it to Glorilla?
He was hollering at Glow.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know he was getting it like that.
I'm telling you, though, because your face is chiseled enough, and you can throw the headset on.
I can get it like Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
I need me a Glorilla.
A little inspiration.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Next stop, Palm Beach.
That's me. That's this weekend. That's where I'll be because I've got a staycation this Saturday at Old Palm Beach. I've got a massage at 2:30. I'm be hanging by the pool. I got a dinner reservation at the Italian restaurant. Mm. And I am so excited because, hey, if you can't get away for the, you know, summer vacation, staycations are the way to go. And Old Palm Beach is my favorite spot in South Florida. It's a Forbes 5-star resort with a private beach, 2 oceanfront pools, spacious guest rooms, and a reimagined kids and teens club. So, you know, might not want to bring the kids, but there is a place for them to hang if you do. The O Spa is also a 5-star spa that offers massages, facials, pedicures, and more. Book your stay today. Florida residents receive 50% off the best available rate now through October 31st. Visit eaupalmbeach.com for more information and reservations. That's eaupalmbeach.com.
Can't wait to hear how that goes for you this weekend. I can't wait to get to this. I need y'all's help with something. I need to know if I need to be offended because at my last HOA meeting, and again, I'm on the board, a lady called me ugly.
What?
I'll explain. I thought I had the face for TV, but apparently this lady thinks otherwise.
Wow.
Theoretically speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Get your margaritas ready.
Let's go, girl.
And make it a double. Because it's time for Theoreticals. with our resident girl next door, Tina.
Let's do this.
Let's do it indeed. Tina and Dean Thomas in the house. And the theoretical is actually an actual. It's an actual that happened to me last week at my HOA meeting. And I need to know from you all if I should be offended. So I'm sitting up, and again, I'm on the board, so I'm sitting at the front here of an HOA meeting, and as the meeting is ending, one of the residents that live with us came up to me to speak to me about the show and stuff. They had heard about the new show, theoretically speaking. As we're going back and forth, they were like, can I follow you on social media so that I'm able to tap into your show? I said, yeah, for sure.
How sweet.
Of course. So I give them my handle. They hop on Instagram. They follow me at Theo Dorsey TV. And immediately the first thing this young lady says to me is, because I have my wedding picture up there close to the top, she says, oh my gosh, you're married. Your wife is so gorgeous. She's beautiful. Like she, wow. Like how in the heck did you end up with her?
Wow.
And she's giving me the whole, you outkicked your coverage thing. And I do know my wife, Ashley, is beautiful. She's gorgeous. She's
stunning.
She is one of a kind. But never in my life had someone given it to me so hard. And here's how I know she was serious about this. She was looking at the wedding picture. Then I noticed her. She continued through an Instagram rabbit hole. Actually went to Ashley's page to look at her. And she was like, oh, my God, it's not just the wedding. She really looks.
She's out of your league.
Yeah, she's and the lady kept looking back at me. And she's like, wow, you've really done well for yourself. Like, this is amazing. She took it a little too far.
Wow. I don't think so.
Was she older?
No, she was like my age.
she dogged you like that?
She could not believe herself so much that she literally was, as she was scrolling, I watched her scrolling through Ashley's page and looking at me and looking at her phone and just being like, how the hell did you do it? And I've never been more offended in my life. Should I be offended? Is that her calling me ugly, or is it just praise of my darling of a wife?
I think it's praise of Ashley.
No, yeah, man, that's, she called you ugly.
That's what I'm saying. I thought I had
you want.
Sorry, Teddy.
What you want is for when people to see your pictures at the wedding and be like, yo, she's lucky.
Yes.
That's what you want.
I'm waiting on that.
That's a lucky woman right there. That's what you want.
You know what? I challenge our listeners, our fans right now. Females, go to my Instagram page, at Theo Dorsey TV. Go to my wedding photos and just comment for me right quick. This is how we're taking you home today. Comment for me. Say, hey, she's a lucky lady. Help me out.
Yeah, she's a lucky lady.
Help my confidence.
Yeah.
Like, thank you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what you want. Yes. Not the other way around.
Yes. Go in love. Wow. Go in peace. Go enjoy. Freddie and Harry next on ESPN 106.3.